So now that the Papandreou dynasty is out and a former vice president of the ECB is in as premier, does Greece now have a fighting chance in the doom and gloom of today's economic mood?
I really don't think so. I think we have to turn the clock back to the original collapse of the world economy, because this was no accident. It was a very well-planned exercise by the New World Order, who have the ability to close down any company or any country at will. And as we know, Ireland became a victim, Portugal, and now Greece, and apparently Spain and Italy are likely to follow. It really doesn't matter who's in power. There are people that are controlling this situation, and we also have to understand that there's massive, could we say, massive corruption, fraud taking place, and tax evasion in most countries that are actually creating this problem.
Well, so very interesting.
We need to...
Yeah, this is just to quickly ask you, very interesting point of view here. Just who are these people? You're saying this could be a conspiracy behind all of this. Who's actually the people then pulling the strings behind the scenes?
Well, I don't like to use the term conspiracy because that puts you in a bracket and open to ridicule. But I'll give you an example. If you want to create a company, say an oil drilling company or a gold mine, you create a virtual company or a false company, an empty shell. You then raise capital, $6 billion or whatever, from your potential investors. And what the people don't know is at the end of that day, your capital's gone. That risk capital's gone forever, and the money is siphoned off through a multitude of entities. The banks are involved, who sometimes give unsecured loans to such projects, and of course the politicians themselves. Even our Prime Minister, David Cameron, historically was responsible for £17.8 million pounds going adrift. And this is recorded in Hansard in Parliament, and no one to this day has questioned how that came about.
Well, of course, you are questioning it now. I mean, here you are actually saying, in effect, that this is the greatest Ponzi scheme in history.
Yes.
Pulling something like this off and not being caught, many would say this is just a little too far-fetched, especially when we think about the scrutiny of the internet these days and whistleblowers. I mean, do you really believe that this sort of thing wouldn't be held to account?
Absolutely. I could show you a multitude of what we call forensic evidence. I have a colleague that works on this that is quite an expert at tracing these schemes, all the companies involved. I'll give you an example, for instance, Arlington Street, Arlington Associates, which is attached to the Ritz Hotel in London, is such a boiler room, which is a boiler room of virtual companies where vast amounts of money are invested and just disappear. Another one is the first floor of 25 Berkeley Square in the Cadbury Schweppes building, a company called Lonro. Massive corruption going on there and tax evasion. And so what happens is this becomes a toxic debt. The banks provide them with insecure loans or whatever. That turns into toxic debt, and the ordinary people in the street have to pay the ultimate price.
Well,
it's a scam.
Well, you come up with some very interesting, tangible examples of the financial aspects here, but what about the political ones? Surely politicians will not want to sacrifice their political careers and reputations for this. We've seen political collapse in Greece and Italy. Berlusconi losing power, perish the thought. Surely these people don't want that to happen.
You've got to understand there's a protection mechanism in place. For instance, all our reports go through the Serious Fraud Office, which is the correct place to report such scams. We've reported it to every party political leader, our local members of parliament. And then when you go through the spider's web and realise who is involved, right down to local politicians, it's on such a vast scale, you know, you can name quite a few very senior politicians and members of the House of Lords who are all implicated in this scam of being non-executive directors or silent directors of non-existent companies. And when you link that with the fraud, the billions of pounds that are going amiss every year and the tax evasion, they're all in on it.
You okay.
What is the point?
Well, that's the other thing. What is the point? Let's just imagine you are theoretically correct here and you give some very, very credible evidence towards your theory. But we know, of course, that economic decline leads to unsocial I should say, to social unrest. Now, are you actually saying that what people want is a European spring identical to what we're seeing unfold in the Arab world?
Yes, I'm glad you use that term, because the Arab Spring is a perfect example of how this came about. Because remember that they can take out any country financially or militarily that they want to take out. This is a master plan of what I call the New World Order. Their priorities are, one, to secure the world's natural resources. Their second approach, sorry, my speaker's coming out here, my earphone. The second one is to control the markets for those resources, and thirdly is to control the gateways, the sea lanes, and the pipeline routes. When you have control of this, you basically have got the world in the palm of your hand. Whoever controls the finances of the world controls the world, and this is what we're looking at here.
One thing, Peter, I can guarantee, we'll get a lot of reaction to your point of view on this. Thank you very much indeed for sharing your thoughts. Peter Eyre, political analyst, joining us live there in Birmingham, the UK. Fascinating. Thanks very much indeed.